is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by DraftKings, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, filling in for our guy Michael Lombardi, making his way back to Ocean City as he was hanging out with us here in Las Vegas throughout the week for the NFL Draft. We talked a lot of NFL Draft in the first hour. We're going to kick off the second hour with a little bit of NBA. We got four playoff games here this afternoon heading into the evening. The first one in the city of brotherly love. You think our guy Michael Lombardi will be locked in on this one? His beloved
Does he
Sixers.
Have tickets? Is he going to make it back in time?
Yeah, I don't
How
know.
If, early was that flight?
I don't know if he wants to pay his hard-earned money on the Sixers team right now. The way he talks about them, and maybe that's just kind of fans how we talk about our favorite teams. But the Sixers are 5-point favorites against the New York Knicks. The total's at 211. Philadelphia, I mean, in that gotta have it game on Thursday, Joel Embiid ends up dropping 50 points, which is a ridiculous number. The most points scored against the Knicks in the playoffs since Michael Jordan in 1996. Not to say that they're in that same category, but just it's a stat and it's a fact. How do you see this game playing out, though, today, where the total, the over is starting to get bet a little bit at most shops? Your DraftKings still 210.5 here, but I mean, for me, I think this would be Knicks or pass in this spot.
It was 5.5 down to 4.5 yesterday. I see it's back up to 5, but we were seeing some Knicks love. Yeah, is he going to score 50 again? Is he going to play the whole game? You kind of hold your breath with the Sixers. It's been an entertaining series, right? We've got a few entertaining series here, and this is certainly one of them. And you'd think the way this is set up now with Dame out too, I mean, the winner of this series
is
going to march to the East Finals, right, and take a shot at the Celtics, you would think. So a lot on the line here for both franchises, a big opportunity. Knicks is just a nice supporting cast of players, right? They're kind of a team you root for. No big star. They just play together. Thibodeau's a really good coach. I mean, this is probably the best coaching matchup of the first round, Nurse against Thibodeau, I would think. So interesting here. I'm not laying 5 with the 76ers, to your point. And in fact, if it stays 5, I probably take a small shot with the Knicks this morning to have some action on an early game.
I think that's where I'm going to land on this as well, too. I'm like, because I've loved this series. I mean, the games at MSG have been unbelievable. We didn't get to watch game 3 as much because it was the same time as the NBA draft, but we kind of had it on in the studio, and we're sort of peeking a little bit. And I mean, Philadelphia always has an awesome atmosphere as well. But to me, this would be Knicks just because the Embiid uncertainty, like he's questionable in this game. The guy's going to play. It's the playoffs. He's going to play. Now, how long will he play and can he finish the game is the big spot here. And that's the big question heading into this contest. And he's also dealing with Bell's palsy as well, like the eye issue. So it's like he's got a lot going on his plate. He was able to play through it in game 3. But I do think that the Knicks are the tougher team. They're the smarter team. And I don't think they're the better coaching, because I do have a lot of respect for Nick Nurse. I think it's pretty even, this coaching matchup. But the Knicks are just deeper, and you can rely on their guys more than you can rely on a Tobias Harris to step up. Or I mean, Buddy Hield, I mean, he didn't even play in the game 3. He played like 4 minutes, 5 minutes, because the Sixers have realized he's giving us nothing. Let's just not play him. I think the Knicks is just a little bit more of a complete team. And if it's a close game, I'm more confident in New York in that spot than I am Philadelphia.
Would you take a shot at Knicks in 5 at 3-1?
I think that's a solid bet.
I
think that's a solid
right?
bet. Because if they win this game, then they go back home for game 5.
In other words, you're taking 3-1 in this game. If you're assuming that in game 5, they're going to be 4 or 5 point favorite and close it out. So I think it's a little interesting. Maybe you take the 5 and you splash a little bit on that 3-1 for Knicks in 5.
I don't hate it. Kind of like it. Maybe I'll do that after the show. Maybe that's something that we'll get in our pockets here.
You can do it during the show too, Femi. It's allowed.
during the break. Well, this is a segment I call Me on My Phone, loading up the apps. Well, I think what's interesting, though, was what you said about the winner of this series and the spot that they're in. Because with this Dame Lillard injury, now who knows if Giannis is able to come back from Milwaukee, but the reporting on that, it feels like it's touch and go at best for that situation with Giannis dealing with the calf injury. If Indiana ends up winning this series, and then you get Pacers versus Knicks or Sixers versus Pacers, I think you would like the winner of this series against Indiana in that second round. And especially if it's the Knicks. We talked about this on President's Day when we were filling in for Follow the Money. And I said, the Knicks could make the NBA Finals. Now, that was back when Randall was healthy and Ananobi was cooking and stuff like that. Now, Randall, I almost think that they play a little bit better without Randall, to be honest. The ball moves a little bit more. I think the Knicks could give Boston a heck of a series, just given the fact that the Celtics in these close games are atrocious.
Yeah, they don't have to play any close games, and the ones they do, they lose
two-thirds
of them. Two-thirds of them. Not all of them. They didn't lose them all. What, they win 65 games?
64, and they were all blowouts.
You kept saying that. How could a team win 64 games and not get any honors?
It's happening. No finalists in any of the awards. Riddle me that. And here are the Chicago Bulls, 38 wins and two finals.
How about that line? 9.5 today in the third game. Pacers, 9.5 with no Dame and probably no Giannis. And why did they play that game so early Friday?
I don't know.
That's strange. Was it a holiday in Indianapolis?
Indiana Day. That's a bad one.
Nevada Day. Kazimierz Pulaski Day in Chicago. Indiana Day.
Our producer, Elliot, Indianapolis native, says every day is Indiana Day.
Oh, yeah. Back home again?
The Hoosier State. But yeah, it was a little bit strange, but I mean, I thought it was a cool concept. You know, give us a little early action on the West Coast.
The Hoosier State is waiting for Caitlin. This is just like window, something to keep them busy until Caitlin takes the floor.
is Anthony Richardson, they got Caitlin, they got all the future stars. is what they have out there for the Indiana Pacers. How about the Clippers and Mavericks? The Mavericks with a 2-1 series lead. They're laying 5.5. There's even a 6 out there in the market. Total 209.5 here. This to me feels like a 7-game series. I could see the Clippers winning this game and evening this thing back up, and then we'll play a best of 3 heading back to LA with 2 of those 3 being at the Crypto.com arena.
I had high hopes after game 1, and I thought Lou did a great job running that defense at them. They held them to 8 points in the second quarter. And then, boy, it's been tough the next 2 games. This Dallas team, I mean, they're legitimate. And
they're good.
Kawhi holds this team hostage. You don't know if he's going to play an hour before game time. You still don't. I mean, come on. He did this to San Antonio for 5 years. He held them hostage. I just think it's a really tough spot. I don't really want to lay 6, but I think the Mavs are winning this series. What's the series price right now, Elliot? How big a favorite? Yeah, it's
minus 390.
Boy, that's tough.
That is a lot.
That's really tough.
I mean, if the Clippers win this game, they have home court advantage again. Like,
that is really tough.
If you like the Clippers in the points today, do you take 3-1 to win the series?
I don't think they can win 3 more games, but that's too steep on the series price. I was looking for 250 to lay it with the Mavericks. $394.
Kawhi doesn't look like himself. He looks a little bit slow. The shot is a little flat. I mean, he's obviously dealing with that knee injury, as he's always, every time around playoffs, is knee inflammation with Kawhi Leonard, which is unfortunate for the Clippers, who went all in getting him when they got him and Paul George about, 5 years ago, I think, up until this point. And they still haven't been able to have a full, healthy playoff run with those two guys.
I know you were at the wedding, so did you get to watch this game?
No, I did not watch the game.
Russ got thrown out of the game. He got ejected. But, I mean, it was not a punch. He pushed a guy in the chest after him and Luka kind of got into it, and the guy shoved him, and then of course they go to the review, and I said 20 minutes to decide whether he's going to get thrown out here, but he ended up getting thrown out. I mean, the game was already, it was, you know, like 4 minutes to go, the game was decided, but I thought it was kind of a bush league call there to throw him out.
Anything for you in the nightcap? T-Wolves at the Suns. I didn't see this being a potential sweep candidate here. Minnesota's laying
one. None of the game's close, really.
The T-Wolves have just, and Anthony Edwards, who's like, I was speaking with our guy Elliot before the show, Anthony Edwards is having a moment in this postseason. And it's like, he was already a star heading into the playoffs, but now he's reaching like that superstar household name status with the performances that he's put together so far through 3 games.
This team good enough to beat Denver in the next round?
I think they can push him to 6 or 7. Like, as somebody who has invested quite a bit in the Denver Nuggets to ultimately win the title, T-Wolves have me a little concerned because they're big enough. They're big enough to throw, like, they got Gobert, they got Towns. Now, Towns, I know, defensively.
They're a defensive team, and here they go with Phoenix. And the people think, it's a bad matchup because Phoenix plays enough defense. Well, they don't. That's the answer, was they don't play enough defense.
Everybody said it was a bad matchup for the T-Wolves.
Because they beat them the 3 games they played.
But it's a regular season ball and postseason ball. It's a completely different sport. Like, I don't think you can kind of, like, extrapolate, oh, wow, they swept them in the regular season. Now, no. It's different, and we've seen what the T-Wolves are able to do. Right now, they're 5-1 to win the Western Conference. Nuggets are odds on at minus 110. I think that if we get the eventual Denver-Minnesota series, that could be maybe the best series of this postseason. I think it's going to be that good, just given the fact that they have the wings to throw at Jamal Murray, who is an awesome playoff performer. Now, I think Jokic will get his against Gobert or Naz Reid or Towns or whoever they throw on him. But if it's a close game, and that's usually where Denver thrives, you still got to be worried about Anthony Edwards in those situations because he is a really lethal scorer late in game. So I think it's going to be an unbelievable series when we eventually get it.
And if home court holds as it is stands now, obviously Thunder up 3-0 and Mavericks have the advantage in this series. How big of a favorite will the Thunder be on the series price over the Mavericks? Not much, right?
Will they be the favorite?
No, Mavericks not going to be favored, are they? Give me Thunder if I can get them at a plus price.
I think you might.
Really?
I think you might. The market loves Dallas.
They do.
The market just loves Dallas. Like I especially given the fact that it's their first series win. That's cute. Cool. Yeah. Like here comes Luka. Like I mean, the Mavericks get a lot of respect.
Tough to earn that one seed. I know you said regular season, but they earned that one seed.
They did.
I think they're very well coached. They have a legitimate.
They have the better coach in the series.
They have a legitimate MVP guy. You're right. You know what I mean? They play very well. I don't know. I think you get value because they're being ignored, just like the Timberwolves were ignored, right? No, yeah, the Timberwolves beating Phoenix.
Bad matchup.
They play just enough defense to give Minnesota trouble.
I haven't seen
that
defense.
Where do you go from now if you're Phoenix?
I think it's over. It's over.
Golden State, over.
The Lakers, probably over. What happened to our stars of the past? We got new stars now in the NBA. We're finally going to talk some Stanley Cup playoffs on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Oh, our guy Stevie Max at it again, analyzing the new head coaches in the NFL for this 2024 season. You can check that article out and much more on the revamped new VSiN.com. It's got the betting splits, the best bets, and everything else like that article from Steve Mackinnon. VSiN.com. Check it out today. This is the Lombardi Line. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, hanging out with you guys here on this Sunday morning. Good morning to all of you guys all across the country. We appreciate it. All our affiliates that have been tuning in and watching. They love us here on the Lombardi Line. But we wanted to get to a little Stanley Cup playoffs here because the Stanley Cup playoffs have been off and running. I mean, the game last night, VGK against Dallas. Mm-hmm. Dallas ends up winning in overtime, kind of saving themselves at least momentarily right now. There's a Stanley Cup team that a lot of people thought was going to win the Stanley Cup, and they were down 0-2, losing both the games in Dallas. Now it's 2-1. Game four will be against the Vegas Golden Knights. That's coming up on Monday. But today's slate, really interesting because we were talking about it during the break, this Winnipeg and Colorado series. Right now, the Avalanche, who are plus 750 to lift Lord Stanley's Cup, they are taking on the Winnipeg Jets today. And in that market, you see Colorado a minus 165 favorite here for game four. You can get the Jets at plus 140, total 6.5. The home ice advantage for the Avalanche, I mean, it is just unbelievable there at Ball Arena. And maybe it's the altitude. I don't know what's going on out there in the Rocky Mountains, but the Avs come up big, and they really put a number on Winnipeg Friday night in game three.
Yeah, they really dominate them in game two and game three. I think the over is the way to play this series because Hellebuck's going to be your Vezina winner, and he gave up six in game one, they won. But they have absolutely been terrific. McKinnon's been terrific. The power play's been awesome. I like Colorado, but I think the safer play is to bet the overs. And it hasn't been too much of a problem with 6.5. So I would look at that angle here.
McKinnon, he's going to win the Hart, right?
Should.
He should, at least.
He should.
Let's hope he does. I know Kucherov, there was some late push there at the end of the season, but somebody who's invested not a lot, a little bit.
A little bit. He should. He should.
Hoping that gets him. I mean, they're not going to announce that until, 4th of July, the way the NHL does these things. I mean, it's just insane. Colorado, when you watch them play, is this a team that's similar to what we saw a couple years ago when they ultimately won the Stanley Cup, or is this they're a step down below?
The goaltending, is not good enough for me. That's why I can't back them to win the Cup. Georgiev is simply not good enough. And we found out from Dennis Bernstein on Monday when I was on with Paul on Follow the Money. We asked him, why didn't they take Georgiev out? He gave up 7 goals on 23 shots. The backup, Anunen, I think that's how you say it, Anunen, the Swedish goal, was sick. got sick an hour before the game, so they had no alternative. So that's why they didn't pull Georgiev. Georgiev's been better the second two games, but I don't ultimately trust Georgiev in the playoffs. I think the winner of this series gets eliminated in the next round by either the Knights or the Stars.
It feels like that team's going to get to the conference finals.
Stars are interesting now. 15-1 to win the cup. You know, they were 7.5, 8-1. Down 2-1 here. They made this a series again.
They've struggled with Dallas so much, though. Or, sorry, with VGK so much to wear out.
Ottinger, to the point everybody said Dallas should have been up 4-0. It was a miracle the Knights even tied it or got it to overtime. You know, Ottinger hasn't been terrific. He's got a save percentage of below .880 in the playoffs. He just hasn't really been good enough. But this Dallas team is so deep. The Knights, it doesn't really matter if it's Logan Thompson or Aiden Hill. They just play such good defense in front that they limit the high quality. Now, the Stars had more high quality opportunities last night than they did in the first two games combined. So the interesting thing here is all these first 6 years, the Knights have been so good at home, right? Almost unbeatable. But this year's not been. This has been the second worst home record they've had. So maybe that was part of the move to Dallas last night. The Knights were $1.15 favorite. Dallas closed $1.18 here. So I think it's 15-1 is interesting now at this point because they're still down 2-1, but you're doubling your price you would have got before the cup started.
Yeah, but then you're kind of on the edge here, because if they lose game four, now you're down 3-1. You're going back home to Dallas for game five, but still you're kind of up against it. So if you have strong conviction in Dallas being able to tie this series up after game four, then yes, I 100% agree with you, but I don't know if I have that conviction. I think Golden Knights, it's one of those like, okay, we won the first two. Not that you take a sigh of relief heading back home, but I mean, there's not as much urgency as there is on Dallas's end where it's like, hey, we have to win tonight. Otherwise, we are done. I think game four will be a little bit different than what we saw game three.
It's very interesting. They had a stat in game two when the Knights took the lead. So Dallas being the number one seed in a conference, I think it's been six times that a number one seed in a conference has gone down 0-2 in the first round series. None of them have come back and won, and only one of them have forced a game six. It's really interesting.
Wow.
When it starts bad, well, obviously you're the home team, you lose the first two games. But when it starts bad, none of them have even been able to get to a game seven.
Yeah, usually if it starts bad, there's a really good reason as to why it started poorly, and you're just going to ultimately lose the series there. Maybe VGK, for them to improve home ice advantage, they just need me to show up and be behind the glass.
Stock up the alcohol.
Wow, here we go.
Unbelievable.
How about the Canucks and the Predators? The Canucks have a 2-1 series lead. Despite the injury to Thatcher Demko, Vancouver's been playing well. The Predators, though, at home, -130, the favorite to try to even this series up at 2, +110 if you want to go ahead and take Vancouver. The total is at 5.5.
This is, to me, the most interesting and competitive series left out there. I was convinced once Demko went out that the Predators were going to win the series. Look, Canucks only had 12 shots on goal the other night and won that game 2-1. I still think Nashville is the side here. I came back with them today at $1.30. I already have a series price on them. 1-1 heading back to Nashville before they lost the second game. They were still +112 for the series. So I need them for the series, and I have them 130 today.
Can any of these teams make a run, Vancouver or Nashville?
No. Vancouver, not deep enough, need Demko, and the Predators they're a really hardworking team, but I don't think they're talented enough to make a deep run. So it turns out, I think Edmonton really drew well with the Knights intentionally losing their last game to go to Dallas, which might have been a good move for them. Yeah. I criticized it, but they're going to beat the Kings, they're going to beat the winner of this series, and they'll find themselves in the Western Finals.
Which is remarkable, because like the Edmonton's been one of those, like, regular season, they score a lot of goals, but they don't really defend. It's who you play and when you play them, probably more importantly than how you're playing in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs here. Do we get the sweep later on this evening, the Rangers against the Capitals? Rangers -195 on the money.
Yeah, probably. And don't lay it, but you probably do. Caps just don't score enough goals, especially 5-on-5 here. Rangers have played well. They've handled their business every game. Really haven't gotten behind. Shesterkin's gave up one weak goal. That was in game three, but otherwise it's been very solid. I think they march on. These East second round matchups are going to be pretty phenomenal. Assuming that the teams ahead win. Rangers, Hurricanes, and on the other side, Florida and the Bruins. Can you put the odds to win the cup back up, Elliot? I think Florida's the interesting team here. You see the short prices. They're kind of still getting overlooked. They're kind of still getting overlooked in the East because, you know, 5-1, they're playing the best of anybody. So,
and this against a good, I mean, Tampa's not what they were 3-4 years ago, but still well coached team with John Cooper, and they've really taken it to them despite what we saw in game four.
Remember, Rangers have home ice. Rangers won the President's Trophy. So Hurricanes are going to be, if it follows the future market, favorite is a road favorite over the Rangers. I think the Panthers better than Boston or Toronto. Panthers are an interesting look at 5-1 right now.
It'll likely be Florida and Boston would be my guess.
He's going to stick with Swayman now. Enough with the Allmark nonsense. I think Swayman's beaten Toronto 6 straight now.
Yeah.
I think they're overall the better side, although it's close. But Swayman's the best goalie in this series by far.
Edmonton, they get it done tonight?
Yeah, they'll finish it up. But they'll get it done tonight to go up 3-1. The Kings play their very best, and Edmonton plays their best. Edmonton wins the game 5-3. You know what I mean? It's
a tough spot here for the old LA Kings. The total 6.5. Anything for you on the total?
I don't know how much the Kings are going to score, so I wouldn't. I mean, I'd lean over, but I just as soon play Edmonton on the puck line.
Yeah, or maybe team total for Edmonton. It's sitting at 3.5 right now, juiced to the under rather. Or sorry, not to juice to the over -125. I'm seeing right now if you want to play over 3.5 for the Oilers.
I have to tell you, when Ben was on yesterday, Ben Wilson on Live Bet Saturday. I believe it was the White Sox game, which the bet didn't win, but they were playing Tampa last night. And instead of laying the run line with Tampa, which still was like -$1.50, betting Savali to be the winning pitcher was like +115, which you can find at DraftKings, or at FanDuel, sorry, which is through Boyd here in Nevada. So that's an interesting angle to look at. Different betting market.
Got to get creative. Mm-hmm. Got to get creative with some of this stuff here. And there's all sorts of menus all over. We always say it on every show on Visa, shop around. Mm-hmm. It says as the ultimate evergreen pro tip for all of you guys out there. Who do you think would you say Florida wins the Stanley Cup?
I still think Dallas overall is the best team, but I think Florida is playing the best right now. I think they're better than the Rangers or the Hurricanes as well. And the Hurricanes improved the most with the trade deadline. But this Florida team for the last 4 months has just been an absolute train.
Any chance we get a rematch of last year's Stanley Cup?
There is a chance, yeah. What would those odds have been? I didn't know Florida would even make it back this year.
Let alone VGK, the way they were playing at the first half of the season before the trade deadline. All right, we'll discuss some defensive rookie of the year on the outside and also hit the diamond with MLB as well here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abbefe alongside Mike Palm. We're hanging out here on this Sunday. And during the break here, Mike, I went ahead and took the plunge.
You did it.
I took 5 with the Knicks.
There you go.
I'm still contemplating the 3-1 on the series. Or a 3-1 to win in 5, but we took +5, so that's I got it at -105 over at Caesars here in Nevada. So I am locked and loaded. Go New York, go New York, go. Later on today, the game tips off 1:00 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific time here. But as we turn our attention to the NFL, once again, talked a lot of draft in hour number one. If you missed it, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search Lombardi Line. We discussed offensive rookie of the year in the last segment. Let's get to defensive rookie of the year, which I think this year might be the market that I'm most excited about, just given the fact that we didn't have a whole lot of defenders go in the first round. And I think that this was not a defensive draft that has the big, big name, which I think could make for some big betting opportunities based on how things play out once we get into the season. Right now, your favorite is Dallas Turner out of Alabama. He is at 4-1 with the Minnesota Vikings. Leiatu Latu, Elliott's guy with the Colts, 7-1. Quinyon Mitchell, 10-1. Jared Verse, 11-1. Chop Robinson, Terrion Arnold, Byron Murphy at 13-1. Cooper DeJean at 20-1. Then Nate Wiggins at 22-1. And so on and so forth here. But defensive rookie of the year, more so than like offensive rookie of the year, I think is definitely one that you had to have been a very high pick, if not like have to be a first rounder, because the people who vote on these awards, I'll go ahead and call them out. They're not the most grinding out the tape to realize, oh, if there's like a fourth round pick that's really good, they're going to vote for them.
Is it the same 50 people that vote on MVP that vote on every award? But it's 50.
It's 50.
So it's not 880 like the Heisman that some people don't even watch one game all year.
And then still have a Heisman vote.
What's the history of this award, Femi? You would know it probably better than most. By position, does this usually go to an edge guy?
It's usually edge guys that win it, but I think more importantly than position, it's first round guys. I believe 21 of the last 22 have been first round picks. So it's like you have to produce, and also, I mean, that kind of goes hand in hand. If you're a first round pick, you're likely a higher quality of player. But I think also with reputation, if it's a tiebreaker and it's, let's say, Will Anderson versus Kobe Turner, do all 50 know who Kobe Turner is? They don't.
Exactly right.
And Will Anderson ends up winning.
He had a nice ticket.
It was very nice. 25-1 in week 16.
That guy earned his award. You know what I mean? Others, not so much. But
you win 11 games with five quarterbacks. You know,
who thought? Yeah, go ahead. So, did you delve into this market? Are you looking
at
it?
No, not yet. Because I mean, it's so, and that's I think the bigger point that I want to bring up too, as well, is that I mean, these markets stay up all throughout the season. You don't have to bet this stuff right now. It's fun to talk about. We're a show. We're going to talk about it. It's good content. But you don't have to bet this stuff right now. I mean, like I said, I bet Will Anderson week 16 at 25-1, and he ends up winning the award. So, like, you can kind of wait, see how these things play out, especially with these rookies where it can be touch and go with how much play time they actually get.
I remember I sent you a ticket to a mall, but I just sent the ticket. And he's like, wow, Mike, that's not like you to make those kind of – I said, it's not. It's Femi's. It's Femi's, but he was looking at the date, right? Because you had the date when you made the bet. Who's this Kool-Aid character?
Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner out of Alabama.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've never heard the name before. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Is that his legal name?
I'm not sure if it's his legal name or not.
That's interesting.
I can Google that, though, while we're looking at
milk
this thing.
And all that. I would say Mitchell has a – just blush, first blush.
I think it's – is it Quincy? Quincy.
Quinion Mitchell? I think has a chance to step in right away, be in every down. Now, what does a DB need to do, right? How many interceptions, you know? Do they need four or five interceptions during the course of the year to vault them into the conversation? Obviously, the edge guys got tackles and sacks to be considered. And how do they impact the game, which can be massively disruptive? And now it's sort of the key way people defend is with the edge guys. So those would be my first blush thoughts at this market.
Yeah, and it's important to note, 2 years ago, Sauce Gardner, when he won Defensive Rookie of the Year, he had two interceptions, which is really low compared to other corners who had won. But he also led the league in passes defended. And then also, like, his PFF grade was, like, best corner in the league. So I think some of those numbers helped him win despite only having those two interceptions. And I think being in New York helped, and having a cool nickname like Sauce, that helped. Like, all these things kind of worked together to get him the award over someone like Tariq Woolen, who led the league in interceptions but was a fifth-round pick, and I'm not sure all 50 voters knew who he was. So that's kind of where I lean towards first-round picks over guys who might be fourth- or fifth-round picks, even though those guys might get more snaps given what happens out in training camp. But I do think that typically you do need a high interception count. Like, Marcus Peters, the year he won it, he had 8 interceptions, which led the league. Marshawn Lattimore had 5 interceptions. So usually you need about 5 minimum at corner if you're going to win this award. But the edge rushers, sacks are such not an easy to get, but they're an easy to understand statistic. And if you get 7, 8, 9 sacks, you're going to be in the conversation throughout the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say, from a perspective of immediate impact, Latu Mitchell would be the two guys that I would look at and then see. But to your point, you can wait till week whatever.
Yeah, you can wait it out.
Stays up all year.
Jalen Carter got out to like minus 2,000 at one point, and he hadn't done anything in a month. But nobody else had done something until Will Anderson finally had a breakout game against Tennessee. And then that's when the whole market flipped and turned upside down. He ended up winning the award. Chop Robinson is a name that I think is interesting. First round pick, edge rusher, has a cool nickname. And also the thing is that the Miami Dolphins, their two edge rushers, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips, are coming off of pretty significant injuries. So early on in the season, there's a chance that Chop Robinson could actually get the amount of snaps that are needed, because you got to play about 70, 60% of the snaps in that first month if you want to go ahead and win this award. Like, volume and opportunities, that matters to go ahead and get some of that volume. So I think Chop Robinson is a name at 13-1. Not to say I would bet it right now, but just one to, as we say, monitor throughout the offseason in this defensive rookie of the year market. We do have about 4 minutes left. What are you eyeing today on the diamond with Major League Baseball in this afternoon slate?
It's interesting here because I mentioned it to you earlier. The Dodgers have won 6 in a row. But are the dogs today, and I think deservedly so. I actually like Toronto.
Gausman on the mound.
Gausman going today. But more importantly, for the Dodgers, their pitcher used to pitch for Toronto. They got Grove from there before. So I think Gausman is terrific. Maybe it's a first five bet. Toronto kind of, you know, I had a ticket on them against the Yankees last time Gausman out. They lead 3-0, give up 4 runs into the top of the ninth. The Yankees came back and beat them that game. Maybe I'm looking at Toronto first five at 130, lay the extra 10 to 12 cents and not get the bullpens involved in the game.
Yeah. Anything else that you have on the card here? I mean, my brain always goes to the award stuff, but I want to get what you have might be that's cooking up today here.
The Mariners have been terrific, and you've been following. The starting pitching has just been unreal, Femi.
People were panicking about 2 weeks ago. They started 6-10, and the Pacific Northwest was like, what's going on with our team? Now they have a 1.5 game lead in the division.
Right, and in the last 14 starts, I think the starters have only given up like 16 runs.
It's been Kirby last night?
Kirby was great because he had 2 bad starts in a row.
Yeah.
And then you get Logan Gilbert today. Arizona's not playing well. I'd lay the price today $1.30, $1.35 with the Mariners.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like a pretty cheap price given the fact that Gilbert has been one of the best pitchers in the American League
most
in the first
consistent.
Month.
Yeah. And you're going against the kid that used to pitch at Reno, Pafad, who came in late last year and kind of made his name on their playoff run. But yeah, I love the way the Mariners are playing right now, Femi.
Your guy, Framber Valdez, he's back in the fold.
It was an interesting tweet from our friend Jared Smith yesterday, who said that even though the elevation, this total of 16 at Coors is just too high. Of course, they were playing in Mexico City, and the game ended up, it closed 17. Many corrected him. It closed 17 here, got bet from 16, and it ended up 12-4. It ended up 16. So if you bet the closing number, you cashed if you bet the under there. Our friend Hoops Peterson, who moved up in time, so I got promoted, he put out a tweet. And he said the Rockies can't even hit in Mexico City. And I think it was like 9-2 at that point when he put that tweet. So anyhow, 12-4. Framber back, right? He's been off a couple of weeks. So we'll see how he does. It's a tough place to start, you know. There's been years where guys lost to Cy Young because they had 2 road starts at Colorado that totally destroyed their ERA. You know what I mean? And this is kind of a bad spot where you go down to Mexico City and with a small ballpark and that elevation, you give up 8 runs. It can have a significant effect. So tough for him to come back in this spot off injury and pitch in Mexico City. I like my bet more and more that I made on the Astros to miss the playoffs plus 180. They could pick up a couple games here against the Rockies probably.
They're not playing that well. Real quick before we head to break here, this Ranger Suarez thing, is this legitimate?
I can't believe it.
It's unbelievable.
No false 5-0. Notes. I said yesterday, no false notes. This guy hasn't had a bad start. I used to always say he's going to pitch 5 innings and give up 2 runs, right? Because that was Suarez. He outdueled Cease again last night. Maybe it's not Wheeler I should be betting for Cy Young. It's Ranger Suarez.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Zach Wheeler's the favorite right now. But I'm like, his teammate has been better than him so far. Yeah.
Glasnow's going to win a ton of games for the Dodgers, too. You got to factor him if you want to delve into that market.
He's going to get a lot of run support. Those wins will start to stack up. All right, we'll wrap things up. Give out our best bets on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code HORSE. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action only on the DK Horse app. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Ebefe alongside Mike Palm. Speaking of the Kentucky Derby, at the top of the hour, Matt Brown, Mike Somich for the handle. Mike Somich last year giving out Mage to win the Kentucky Derby. I definitely tailed on that one. That was a very, very fun day, cashing that Mage ticket and watching that race there. So make sure you tune in to the handle at the top of the hour, and maybe Mike Somich will start giving out some of those early plays. He's going to be a busy guy this week with his Kentucky Derby. Any horses that you're eyeing?
No, I haven't followed it enough, Femi, to give an educated opinion.
Oh, I strictly tail people on the Derby.
But I know Somich said the draw, according to Bill Eadie's daily newsletter, which comes out 3 a.m. Pacific normally, 6 o'clock Eastern time, it said, talking to Somich, he's doing a reroute after the draw. Because he didn't like the draw for the horse that he was going to recommend. So he's calculating now at this point.
Going back to the drawing board.
He's going back to the drawing board.
Okay, yeah. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for whenever he releases who he likes. And then I'm going to tail it once again, because it was really fun last year. Can't wait for that. It's a Kentucky Derby. It's always like, it's like the official sign of spring is here, for me at least. Like every time I think about it, it's like, all right, the Derby's here. The vibes are just good. It's a Saturday. People dress up and do the whole bit. You guys always have a good showing here on that Saturday. It's just a lot of fun.
I won't be here. I'm taking my family to Seattle next weekend.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Just a quick trip, leaving Friday morning, coming back Sunday night.
Gonna squeeze in a Mariner game?
I'd like to. We normally do. And it used to be I could just, like, buy tickets right behind the dugout for pretty cheap. That's not the case anymore.
They're good now.
Not the case. But we'd, like, walk up on the – I remember it was when Pujols was playing with the Angels, and, like, we walked up and bought five tickets, two rows behind the Angels dugout for, like, $15 a piece, right, an hour before game time.
Used to be a sad state of affairs in the Pacific Northwest.
That was, like, 2016 or 17 when we did that.
Pretty rough back then. Yeah.
It's a beautiful park. Very underrated. Amazing. Very underrated ballpark.
I'm biased, but it's my favorite park. Yeah. But it's the park that I grew up in.
You know what's also underrated? Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has a very nice
ballpark. It looks beautiful on TV. Just like you get like the river in the background and everything like that. I do want to go to Petco in San Diego. I've always been around it, like hanging out in San Diego. I was in San Diego yesterday. Didn't get a chance to go to any games or anything like that. But that's one that I have on my bucket list, is Petco Park in San Diego. Everybody says it's awesome. Mm-hmm. I got to check that out. Chase Field. I haven't really heard much about that in Phoenix, where the Diamondbacks play, but I just want to see it since it's close in proximity.
I've been there,
off another ballpark.
I've been there, but only to tour it. I have not been there for a Diamondbacks game. Yep.
Yeah. Well, the Diamondbacks are a fun team, defending National League champions. So maybe we'll check out a game at some point this season. Best bets on your card. What do you have for us? Are you dabbling some NBA? I know you gave out some baseball in the last segment, but for those of them that missed it, would you like to recap that here for them?
Toronto Blue Jays first five. With Gausman over the Dodgers, and I took Logan Gilbert and the Mariners over the Diamondbacks today. On the ice, over 6.5, Colorado and Winnipeg in that game. Canuck Predators in the game, and I bet that I have them for the series as well. And Oilers on the puck line against the Kings tonight. Those are my in-pocket plays.
In-pocket plays. There you go. The only play I have, New York Knicks. I took the five. There's a 5.5 at DraftKings, so maybe if you are interested in the Knicks, maybe you might be able to wait and get a better number than I got, but I took five. I think the Knicks just win this game. I think so. So I got to contemplate that Knicks and five.
$3 plus.
Plus 300 for the Knicks and five. That's something that I'm going to go ahead and contemplate after this show and see if I want to splash a little bit on that. But Knicks plus five. Maybe I'll do a little money line action as well. Let's put that down. Knicks money line. Forget the Knicks and five. Okay. I'm just going to do Knicks money line and get my money today instead of wait for it whenever they finish game five. So the Knicks with the points and on the money line, they're the smarter, they're the tougher team. I think we'll get a big performance from Jalen Brunson once again, like we saw in game three. He started to bounce back and get more in rhythm, because the games in New York, Brunson was brutal in those two games. Game three, much better, more of the Jalen Brunson that we saw throughout the regular season. I think that continues this afternoon. And I do think this Embiid thing, like the longer the series goes with that knee injury, playing these big minutes, high intensity games, I don't trust it. So give me New York to go ahead and take a 3-1 series lead back to the Mecca, where I think they will ultimately close out in five. But I like the New York Knicks here in this spot. It's really been bet to the under throughout the show. It was 211 when we first started. Now it's down to 209.5. So more money coming in on the under for the Knicks and the Sixers, which kind of makes sense. As like the series progresses, usually in the NBA, the games get a little bit more lower scoring now that everybody knows all your sets. We all know what we're doing here. It's just, hey, now it's just kind of, can you grind through a basketball game? And that's what the market's expecting.
We didn't talk about this, but it's an interesting series with Cleveland and Orlando.
Yes.
I thought it was over, but it's not over.
Are the home team's just going to win every game?
And meanwhile, how about that game stayed under yesterday? I mean, we talked about 206 down to 204, 201. I mean, if this gets to game 6 and 7, Femi, I mean, we got to be looking at, what, 196, 197 for totals in this series?
I mean, it have to be. It's 200 and a half right now for game 5 Tuesday afternoon. Right now it's 4.5 is the line. Cleveland is, of course, the favorites being at home. But, I mean, you couldn't get me to bet an over in that series. Like the way these teams play, both of them pretty good defensively. I would never bet an over.
I think they had, what did they have at half? 110 at half yesterday or whatever? And then Cleveland scored 28 points in the second half, 30 points. Look at the box score. It's quite surprising that an NBA team could put up less than 30 points in a half.
It's a little disappointing from Cleveland, given the fact that they actually have some playoff experience. Donovan Mitchell's played in the playoffs quite a bit, and this Cavs team was in the playoffs last year. I know it went poorly against the Knicks, but they at least have been there. They've experienced it. Orlando, these are kids. Banchero was like, 20 years old or something like that, 21 maybe? And Franz Wagner's really young, and the games in Orlando, they just took it to them, and they weren't even close.
The Cavaliers intentionally lost the last game because they wanted to play and say that we won a playoff series, right? That was going to be a big thing for them.
Because they'll be fired if they lose this series. Right,
and now they got exactly what they wanted and a 2-game lead and got hammered in Orlando.
Careful what you wish for. Because they always say the basketball gods are always watching. And you do some funny business like throwing games. And all.
Yeah.
People said the Lakers should have done it. And when you watch these games against Denver, it's like maybe they should have.
No, they shouldn't have.
You can't toss a playing game. You can't do it.
Then you take the chance you're not even going to get in the playoffs. I mean, it's especially one thing for seeding.
To play a Kings team that's been kicking your butt all regular season. But the Lakers are up against it. But Cleveland, I don't know. If they don't win this series, I think you got a clean house. And my guess at some point this offseason, we'll once again hear the trade rumors for Donovan Mitchell. And maybe this year it actually happens. They ultimately just trade him to like the Brooklyn Nets or the New York. It sounds like he wants to go to New York somewhere. The Knicks, I don't think, would ever trade for him. But maybe the Brooklyn Nets would.
I say there's a little bit of DeRozan in him. Like DeRozan, 11 of his 12 seasons are now 12 of 13. His team has a better net when he's off the floor than on. I mean, there's certain guys they don't enjoy winning of their team. They don't take them on their back, and they may be very good players, but they have the results team wise hasn't dictated that.
Yeah, DeRozan almost won Clutch Player of the Year.
I can't. It's
such a joke. What an award.
Such a joke.
38 win team, clutch play. God. It's like, what are we like? But you know, my gripe with NBA voters, they're lost in the sauce completely. I just don't know what they're doing.
They forget about guys. Oh, Jokic, I forgot. Mark Jackson, he forgot about him.
I think that's why he doesn't have a vote anymore.
Yeah, no.
So, how did Jokic not end up on your ballot? Oh, just I forgot about him. This is the best
I would have had him fourth.
Which is the more criminal thing, that he forgot or that he would have had him fourth on the ballot?
Yeah, fourth.
It's just insane. Hand down, man down. The market has moved, though, in this Bucks-Pacers series. It's now pretty much 10 across the board. Isn't this getting a little high? I get that it's no Dame, no Giannis, but man, Indiana's not defending anybody.
Yeah, you don't put Doc Rivers in the corner. I mean, you got it. I can't play the game. I can't.
But Doc is, when his team is shorthanded, Doc has been solid. Yeah. You know, it's Doc as a fave is when it's like, okay, let's get out of here.
Is that the fade as a favorite?
I ain't laying points with Doc Rivers. But catching 10, at some point, there's got to be a number where you get interested in Milwaukee.
10 in a high-paced game, 10 isn't as much as, you know what I mean? They play at a hectic pace, Indiana.
Now seeing sixes pop up in this Mavericks and Clippers game right now. Circuit, we're sitting is at 6. Other spots around town are at 6. 5.5 is still consensus. But like I said, the market just loves the Dallas Mavericks. And I think if they win this series and they see Oklahoma City,
Give me the plus. You believe?
I really
Mavs will be favored.
I believe Dallas will be a series favorite. It's not going to be a big favorite, but I think they'll be favored.
I'll take any plus price.
Hey, you'll get that opportunity here in about a handful of days. But that does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. For Mike Palm, for our producer Elliot Bowman, the entire crew behind the glass, I'm Femi Bebefe saying good luck with all the bets. The Handle with Matt Brown and Mike Somich is coming up next here on VSiN.